You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Tuesday. We are coming to you live from Paradise Valley, Arizona, outskirts of Phoenix, Scottsdale, Arizona area. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. We are back after yesterday's Best of Locked On episode, which is kind of our Christmas Day scenario. But we are here in Phoenix with the team, not really with the team, but, you know, covering the team at the beautiful JW Camelback Marriott. They are not here. We, the media, are. They arrived, the team arrived yesterday at 6:20 p.m. We were there to greet them and to hear from Jim Harbaugh. Today we had media availability with both the TCU defensive players and the Michigan offensive players. We got to see 15 minutes worth of practice today. So there's a lot to kind of glean from what we have seen so far. But let's go ahead and start with what I kind of gather from TCU. It was kind of interesting talking to their defensive players. Now, obviously, you're not going to approach a game, especially a college football playoff, of we're lucky to be here, we're happy to be here, we're about to get our faces smashed in. Of course, you don't expect them to have that mentality. But I still find it really interesting just kind of the way that the TCU defensive players talked about Michigan. And we've been hearing a lot of weird things throughout the last couple weeks from Sonny Dykes saying, stop the run game, you stop their offense, as if you never saw the Ohio State game, that their team's speed when they arrived on the 24th. He said that he feels like both teams are going to be physical, but TCU's team speed's probably going to make the difference, as if Michigan doesn't also have superior team speed. It's one of the ways that Michigan has changed drastically in the last couple of years, and that's why they've been able to contend that much more with the Ohio States of the world. So lots of weird things like that. So I asked Joe Gillespie, for instance, their defensive coordinator, how much do you change things? You have a month, right, essentially between the Big 12 championship game and the college football playoff from the 3rd of December until the 31st. You have almost a full month. And considering that the 3-3-5 stack isn't exactly something that you want to necessarily run to try to stop the run if you're going up against a physical team that predicates itself on being able to, you know, smash, as Michigan likes to call it, or run the ball down your throat. I'm like, how much do you think about changing some things, and how much does that maybe benefit you to be able to do that before you go up against a team like Michigan? And while he did say often that Michigan is Michigan, things of that nature, and gave Michigan its credit, is kind of like they're not going to like what they see. We're still going to stay with our bread and butter because it's kind of what got us here. Though what got them there is allowing 25 points a game. I don't know. I just have the feeling that there is some stodginess as to that. And I asked him as well. I said, different offenses, but we've heard TCU players say Texas, you know, we stopped Texas's run, and they did a really great job, 22 carries for 28 yards against a running back in Bijan Robinson, who, won the Doak Walker Award and is that high level of a running back. And yet they completely shut them down. And he just said, if I was Michigan, that's the tape I would be looking at to try to figure out what we did. And it was very like, I know something that you don't know. Maybe he does. Maybe he does. But I really don't think that is a winning proposal. Now, talking to some of the defensive players, I was really impressed by Johnny Hodges. I mean, that guy is future coach in waiting. I asked him, I was like, are you planning on becoming a football coach? Because he could go in and break down J.J. McCarthy's game by game. Even when asked about Olu, he knew this backstory, knew he came from Virginia. And for a lot of you that are, that are big Michigan fans, of course, you know that. But for a player in another conference to know the nuance of Michigan's personnel, hey, that guy transferred from Virginia. And I understand they're probably watching some of what he did at Virginia as well. But it was a contrast to asking some other guys who did the typical, I asked a cornerback. I said, what receivers jump out to you from Michigan? And it's like, number six, he talked at length about Cornelius Johnson, but he calls him number six? And he says, well, number eight also is one that jumps out at me. So it was a big, big contrast to see some of those guys talk hear Johnny Hodges in particular talk about the Michigan team. Was really insightful and really, really good. Definitely got a really good head on his shoulders, but we'll see how much that factors in the game. But he did mention the thing about Donovan Edwards that makes him so dangerous is he's like, if you miss him, if you aren't a sure tackler and you have him in your sights, if he is in your lane and you miss him, he's gone. And there's nothing you can do about it. He is completely gone for a touchdown. So they definitely feel like they have a lot that they have to try to figure out when it comes to the Michigan offense in terms of that. But at the same time, it does seem that they seem awfully confident, which, again, they should be. But, you know, I don't expect them to come out and say, you know, well, you know, good luck to us because Michigan's that good. But and it's very similar to the types of things that we were hearing Michigan guys saying last year. I remember Andrew Stuber kind of saying, like, oh, we've got stuff prepared for that Georgia defense. Turns out, not so much. And I think that's one of the things when you have that cross-conference play, you always feel like your conference is one of the best, you know, whether you're the Big Ten going up against the SEC, and certainly some teams, Ohio State namely, has had success in the playoff against the SEC at times, not always, but has at times been able to do some things. Or, you know, the Big 12 certainly thinks that they can come in and push the Big Ten around, things of that nature. But we'll see. They play games for a reason. I say that just about every episode. But nonetheless, it will be exciting to watch. But I was definitely just getting the feel overall that there was some respect for Michigan, but more respect for themselves, which, again, is how it should be. But I wanted to hear a little bit more about the challenges that they're going to be facing. Maybe they were just a little down because they were being interviewed mostly by Michigan media. There was not a lot of TCU media to speak of. But then you have the Michigan side of things, and hearing Ronnie Bell talk about his brother and like how good his brother was, you know, at quarterback, saying that, hey, I'm a college level receiver. He's a sophomore in high school, you know, a couple years ago, and he's hitting me in stride, you know, things that he didn't expect. And he said he just kept on showing the coaches and saying, like, am I crazy or is he actually pretty good? And that's obviously why Kendrick Bell ended up getting the offer and then signing with Michigan. So interesting to hear things of that nature. Interesting hearing from Sharon Moore talking about the transfers and saying, like, listen, we have built something here. You know, you're not transferring in with a guaranteed starting job, but you do have the opportunity to compete and play for the two-year running best offensive line in the country. That is a statement, right? Like, we were talking to some colleagues of mine, and they were saying in a lot of circumstances, that would certainly be some coach speak. But for Sharon Moore, it is not. So, wealth of riches over there. But anyway, let's get to practice, as in, let's talk about practice. Practice, they're not going to let us in over wherever Tempe is. I'm not really sure here. But let's discuss what I saw at practice. I had some observations that I put pen to paper on, and we'll get to those here momentarily. We will discuss what Michigan is doing actually on the playing field. But before we do, listen, these days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. Listen, it is so easy to add a job on LinkedIn Jobs. Anyone can do it. After you have done that, you can add the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you would like to interview and hire. You want to find the right member for your team, just like Michigan has done bringing in a transfer, Olu Oluwatimi, Iabioki. You want to find that guy that's going to be a closer for you. And the best way you can do that is going through LinkedIn Jobs. That's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you Forgot I can't scroll here. Find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnCollege. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnCollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. All right, I don't have my computer here. I have a computer, but not the normal one, so we're going to look at my phone. I'm standing on the back patio of my room here. This is the view if you're watching. I mean, if you're listening, then just imagine it, but we got Camelback Mountain in the background. We've got all kinds of cacti and everything. I'm standing on gravel. You can't see that. But nonetheless, it is a very beautiful. It's overcast now. It was nice and sunny all day. But the rain is coming if you're coming down to Phoenix for the college football playoff semifinal at the Verbo Fiesta Bowl. All right, so let's get into some practice things. There were certainly a couple things I was able to take away. I have them all written down here. I wrote them down during practice. I wrote an article all kind of based off of it. So let's get with the players that weren't in the traditional regalia, the ones that weren't in the... They were wearing, if you're on offense, you're wearing blues and no pads, just, you know, shells and shorts and what have you, and helmets. And there were a handful of guys that were in T-shirts. I didn't see any on the defensive side. Looked like everyone on the defensive side, except for Nakai Hill-Green, which is something of a surprise, because it sounded like he was going to be able to potentially play in this game if necessary. Maybe he is, but he hasn't practiced for a while, so who knows. But there were a couple guys that weren't dressed, so let's discuss those. Andrell Anthony and Amarion Walker as far as wide receivers. Actually, let's add A.J. Henning to that. So A.J. Henning was in a T-shirt and shorts, as was Andrell Anthony and Amarion Walker. So that could, Andrell being out could certainly be an, if he is indeed out, and we'll be at practice on Thursday and see if maybe he is returned, but that could be a potential blow to the special teams. Certainly they have other players. Ronnie Bell obviously did a great job filling in, particularly in the Illinois game. But those were the three that I saw as far as that was concerned. But Mike Morris obviously had been a concern. He looked to be a full go. I was right there with the defensive edge rusher guys and warming up. Well, they were going through a bunch of different drills. He looked to be a full go, so that's good news. As was Donovan Edwards, still has a cast on. It looked a little bit less bulky, as you know, probably at this point, that he had surgery right after the Purdue game. But he seemed to be good to go, was still carrying the ball in his left arm. But we didn't get to see any kind of passes thrown, so I'm not sure if he was, if he's available to catch passes. Obviously, that would be a giant deal in game-changing for the offense to make him available. Certainly, I mean, they've thrown it at him. I mean, he's gotten a catch in the last two games, but they've thrown it to him since the Ohio State game. But being able to do it with certainty, that's something that would take the offense yet again to another level. One of the rotation we saw, because I think one of the questions is who's going to be after him. Khalil Mullings obviously was the one who got the bulk of carries in the Purdue game, in the Big Ten championship game. But it was from just the rotation that I saw during the first 15 minutes of practice. That's all we get was Donovan Edwards, then C.J. Stokes, and then Khalil Mullings. C.J. Stokes did get a little bit of, I'm not really sure what it was referring to in terms of was he too early with getting to the ball, to the quarterback to get the ball or making his cut? But Jim Harbaugh did say that, you know, a little too early, CJ, a little too early. But he was still second, and then Khalil Mullings. So it'll be interesting to see how that rotation looks come on Saturday at the bowl game, in the playoff, rather. Let's see, which one I want to move on to first. Let's go right to the early enrollees. So seven early enrollees are here. I saw three of them. And they were practicing. Full uniform, wasn't like, now we're done with these portions, now you guys can rotate in. No, they were in the regular rotations. Obviously, we didn't see 7-on-7s or 11-on-11s or anything like that, but just seeing the positional drills and things of that nature, we did see the early enrollees. The first guy that caught my eye was Samaj Morgan, working with those guys. Frederick Moore was also out there. I didn't see him in those moments, but then I did see Jair Hill and Cameron Calhoun on the defensive side, and I saw Calhoun make a nice tackle as well, as I did also Will Johnson. Will Johnson looked really good in what little that I did see of Hymns. But I have already mentioned four guys there. The other guys that are here are tight end Zach Marshall. I could not see the tight ends. They were pretty far away from where we were allowed to traverse. So Zach Marshall, Benjamin Hall, I didn't notice him, and Cole Cabana are also here in uniform practicing, I confirmed with a team spokesman. So that's interesting. The only one that's not here of the early enrollees is Amir Herring because he is at the Under Armour All-American Bowl. But that's an interesting thing that they are there. They are in uniform. They are getting ready. They are included in the team right now. So very, very cool. Obviously, there's going to be people out there that say, why detract from what they have? But hey, it's practice. It's good to get those guys acclimated. And I'm sure that they are doing so wisely without taking away from the guys that absolutely need it right here and now as they try to go on a national championship run. Let's see, what else do we have? I saw one formation that where DJ Turner was in nickel. Then on the boundaries, on one end was Will Johnson, and it looked like Quentin Johnson. I mean, he was out there, and it looked like he was the boundary, that there wasn't anyone else on the other boundary when they were running up against the scout team. And I thought that that was just interesting. Certainly, I mean, no Sanger still out there on that particular play, no Jamon Green on that particular play. It looked like Quentin Johnston, Johnson was a cornerback on that particular play. But it's just something to keep in mind, that maybe that is something that is available to them, and maybe there's something that they like about having that personnel grouping. But not too long after, there was a situation, I didn't see what kind of prompted it, but Steve Klinkscale got real fired up, and so many expletives being hurled. Just say earmuffs and we can all cover our ears. But he was absolutely going nuts. But then on the very next play, he did exactly what was wanted. DJ Turner went up and got an interception, and he said, that is what we are looking about. That's what it's supposed to look like. Expletive deleted. So definitely, he's always talked about, you know, coach him hard, but love him hard. That is certainly what we saw in person. There was no like, oh, the media's here, I've got to put on a smiley face. He was full bore, full tilt. It was pretty interesting to see. But then they also ran another play that I thought was just really interesting. Guys were mostly kind of shallow. As far as I recall, and I could be wrong, I didn't take video. There was a deep safety, but otherwise it looked like they were trying to run some action on a screen. There wasn't necessarily like a offensive play that they were running against this that I saw, or maybe there was, and I just wasn't looking at it. I was too focused on what I was looking at, but it was an interesting zone concept where everyone kind of switched from what you would have expected. And that's the type of subterfuge that I kind of expect to see against TCU, really confuse Max Duggan, but they did what looked like a really good type of zone defense that would be perfect for blowing up any kind of screen, which isn't surprising. We've seen it a lot all year, but this was kind of a little bit of a different look than what we had seen. Can't describe it to you more than that. It all happened in a flash. It was kind of more, this is the general thing I am looking at. Let's take a, you know, take a picture if I can, and of an individual player, and then write down my notes. But anyway, I think that is everything I have from that. You can check out more on my write-up at Wolverine's Wire. You can check out photos on Wolverine's Wire. It's all up there now. I don't know why I'm putting this away, because I need it still. Anyway, let us continue on, and we will continue talking about the challenge of the college football playoff here in Arizona. Basically, just will give you my final thoughts here in just a moment. But before we do that, you're hanging out with some friends and putting back a few drinks. A few becomes too many. As the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think of calling for a ride. You know what? Nah, you live nearby. You can make it home okay. It's no big deal. What are the odds that you get pulled over anyway? And even so, what's the worst that can happen? Your insurance goes up. You lose your license. You lose your job. You total your car. You kill someone. Everyone knows about the risks of driving drunk. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. All right, let's finish up here. Just we'll give you my thoughts of kind of what has transpired so far here in the last 24 plus hours. I've been here since 11 o'clock yesterday morning, local time. Michigan arrived at 6. Okay, number one obvious thing is this is really beautiful here, more so than I expected. I think we're all absolutely blown away just by how great this bowl game has already turned out to be. Not a lot of activities, if there are, for the team. We are not involved, but I've been told that this has been kind of a normal thing for this bowl game, that they aren't really... This isn't the type where, you know, you go to the Peach Bowl and, you know, you're going to, you know, go with the team as they go to the arcade and do go-karts. You're going with them to the College Football Hall of Fame, rather. Going with them all the kinds of different places. They don't have all that here. It's kind of like the Orange Bowl, but even less. However, for Michigan, they seem to really like that. And that was one of the things that some of the players had talked about is, you know, for the guys who are, you know, aren't the normal travel guys, they're able to go out and do activities, but we are all locked in. We are all very much trying to do whatever we can to beat TCU. We are hyper-focused. We are not doing anything as far as activities. So there's no activities that I've seen on the schedule because the media schedule doesn't have the full team schedule, but they are super, super locked in, and it certainly seems like it. Now, for the Michigan's attitude versus TCU's attitude from the offense and, for the Wolverines and defense for the Horned Frogs, I mean, they're both talking as you would expect. TCU's obviously getting a lot of questions about Michigan, and they're saying, hey, we belong. The moment's not too big for us. We can do it. Michigan's saying, like, well, that's kind of what we thought last year, and then turns out there's a lot of distractions and things that you kind of don't recognize. And that's the place where Michigan says, we kind of know what this is, you know, and we've prepared, you know, the whole year is not about beating Ohio State, beating Michigan State, or beating Penn State, winning the Big Ten. The whole year comes down to winning two more games from this point. So that is awesome that is their mentality. That's everything that you want. They seem laser focused on that. I think it's really awesome that those early enrollees are getting to partake. Maybe there's something there, right? Maybe someone shows you something in these bowl practices that says, I trust this guy enough to put him out here, probably special teams type scenario. But, like, you know, if you look at, say, if, you know, a guy like Jahir Hill, and maybe he can go out there and do something on special teams, right? Maybe you find out that you've got a... remember in 2019, spring ball, they were all hyped up about Eric Gall and Mike Sainristil. Maybe one of those guys has that capabilities, and you just feel like we have a one play that we can run for them, and we can get them involved enough to where we feel comfortable putting them out there. Maybe that's the case, especially with some of those wide receiver injuries that they have. So it will be interesting to see if that pays any dividends. But what I'm looking forward to just seeing how the rest of the week plays out. Obviously, the practice on Thursday is a crucial scenario. I want to see how that goes from what we're able to witness, see if some of those guys are back in uniform. But I like Michigan's mentality. I like TCU's mentality. They aren't scared. They aren't backing down. But I did speak with one prominent reporter that pretty much everyone that would watch or listen to this knows about. And they kind of agree with the field assessment that they just can't see TCU hanging with Michigan. I don't know that they can either. I've talked to some colleagues that feel like it's going to be a game well into the fourth quarter, but they're still Michigan will still pull it out. I'm leaning towards this looking like the Ohio State game in a lot of ways, where maybe it's close for a half. Michigan relies on its talent, and it's able to get some things done. But then again, TCU seems awfully confident on the defensive side, starting with Joe Gillespie on down. It will be interesting to see what their offensive side says about their battle with Michigan, what they see from the Michigan defense. We'll know more about that on Wednesday, which is what we will be talking about on Wednesday's episode of Locked On Wolverines. But that's going to do it for us today. Thank you for watching, and thank you for listening, however you have caught this podcast. But we will talk to you again on Wednesday as we break down a bit from that press conference. Talk to you again soon. Peace.